Okay, Ayin Hey, Amid Aleph, four lines in the bottom of the page.
Second column?
Yeah.
Tanya.
Huh?
From Tanya.
Tanya. From Tanya. Even the Gemara, they have Tanya. Tanya. Says like this. V'chein Abelazar, Amid Abelazar said, we're speaking about who you're allowed to marry, who you're not allowed to marry, you know, and all that stuff. So it says, Rabbi Lozer said, a kusi cannot marry a kusis. Okay, a kusi is, again, it's converts. There was a question, the Gemara, as we'll soon see, were they legitimate converts, were they not legitimate converts? But Rabbi Lozer says, a male kusi cannot marry a female kusi. Now, normally we learn that mamzer could marry a mamzeris. Mm-hmm. But a kusi cannot marry a kusis. My time, or what's the reason? Like, why not? Okay? Okay, so he says, Amar Rav Yosef said, Asur k'ger l'acher asar adeiris. The Chachamim made a kusi, like a ger, after 10 generations. A ger, we learned before in the Gemara, is allowed to marry a mamzeris. Okay, we don't do it because then the kids will be mamzerim. But halachically, a ger could marry a mamzer. So the Gemara says, for how many years is the generations considered? This we learned last week. Okay, up to 10 generations, a ger can marry a mamzer. Because everybody knows for 10 generations that they're converts. After 10 generations, people forget their gerim. And therefore, if a ger marries them, the offshoot of a ger marries a mamzer, people are going to think a regular Jew is marrying a mamzer. So therefore, you're not allowed to. So he says, the same thing with kusi and kusis. Okay? Even though, like he said, after many generations, people stop thinking of them as kusi. And therefore, when they see, they're going to see one Jew's marrying this person, that they remained, even though they remained a distinct group of kusim, but people are going to make a mistake that a Jew can marry a kusi, and a kusi can marry a Jew, and therefore
they're going to... But before the 10 generations, okay.
Again, not by kusi. No, by a kusi, they made it presently as if it's after 10 generations. It means in all times, it was forbidden.
So why not for the ger?
Because a ger, people know is a ger up to 10 generations, and they forget that they're a ger.
But the kusi from the right after being... Wait
a minute, the Gemara is going to ask this question. So the Gemara said like this, me, dummy, 75A5, the end of the page. Amalei Abayas, Abayas, Rav Yosef, me, dummy, what's the connection? If it's a 10th generation ger, right? So it's like an old ger with a new mamzer. So again, people forgot it's a ger, they're going to see him marrying a mamzeris. So Amri, what are people going to say? By Yisrael, the konasim mamzeris. That a Jew is marrying a mamzeris. They're not going to know that he's a ger because after 10 generations, we don't know anymore. So Gemara says, but by the case of kusim, a kusi is a kusi. So if a kusi is marrying a kusis, why should it be a problem? Even though, by the way, Taisus brings on over here that Lachera, in the Mishnah before, it said, doubt can marry doubt, and a kusi is a doubt if they're Jewish or not. So each kusi is a doubt if they're Jewish or not, so a doubt can marry a doubt. So really, it's understood why, but the Gemara is discussing it anyway. So the Gemara is trying to figure out, why can a kusi not marry a kusis? So the Gemara says like this, like also Ravdimi, when Ravdimi came from Eretz Yisrael, Amar, he said like this. Rabbi Lozer Sovela Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Lozer holds it Rabbi Shmuel, and Rabbi Shmuel holds it Rabbi Akiva. Okay, what does this mean? It says, explains like this. Rabbi Eliezer Sovela Rabbi Shmuel, but Rabbi Eliezer holds it Rabbi Shmuel, that holds Kusim Geri Aroyasei. They are lion-inspired Kusim Gerim. That's what it literally means. Meaning, they were not really, they didn't really mean to be gerim. No, they said they never meant it to be gerim. He also, Rabbi Shmuel said, the kusim were never Jewish. But Rabbi Shmuel saw it like Rabbi Kiva, and Rabbi Shmuel holds like Rabbi Kiva that says like this, Eved Yichavim, the Eved, Abba Bas Yisrael, a goy, or an Eved, that has relations with a Jewish woman, havalad mamzer, the kids are mamzer. Meaning like this, and this is important, we discussed this in the past, but it's coming up again now in the Gemara like this. According to Rabbi Kiva, who is a in this case a fanatic opinion, basically, according to Rabbi Kiva, any relationship between two people that are forbidden creates a mamzer. Any relationship between a person whose two people are not allowed to marry each other, the kid's a mamzer, even if it's only a negative commandment.
Even the Rabbanan, meaning Rabbanan and the writer. The writer is clear.
No, the kid's a mamzer, period. That means, like Rabbi Kiva says, what the Gemara is quoting over here, if a guy, male guy, lives with a Jewish woman, Rabbi Kiva holds the kid's a mamzer. Most of the Tanoim hold, no. What only creates a mamzer is when you're obligated the punishment of capital punishment or kodesh. Okay? In other words, according to Rabbi Kiva, a guy can't live with a site, anytime it's allowed. Here the Gemara gives an example of Eved. According to Rabbi Kiva, if a guy lives with a Jewish woman, the kid's a mamzer. So he says like this. Why does Rabbi Shmuel say, Rabbi Lezer, I mean, say that a kusi cannot marry a kusis, where a male kusi cannot marry a female kusis? Because he holds their goyim. They were never meant it. Mm-hmm. Okay? And he holds like Rabbi Kiva that the person's a mamzer, if any time it's a forbidden relationship, even only with a lav. Okay? So then, he has, therefore, the kid's a mamzer.
But if they are going, why are they mamzering? The two goy are getting married.
Because,
two goy don't make a mamzer, do they?
No, they don't. I mean, why Rabbi Akiva says what he said?
That's his opinion.
Because, I mean, they're two goy. It's a doubt about them. It's a doubt about them. So they have a din of a goy. But from Filchumna, they have a din of a Jew. Okay? That's any forbidden relationship according to him is like this. Therefore, if kutsins are not sincere, okay, now their offspring from Jewish women are mamzeidim. Okay, now, what happens? People thought, if these kutsim are going to intermarry with the Jews, what they did, okay, because people thought they were Jewish, their kids are mamzeidim, and people are going to start intermarrying with mamzeidim. Okay? Because Rabbi Kiva holds a guy that lives with a Jew, the kid's a mamzer. So if kutim are goyim, and you're going to start allowing kusi to marry kusis, so then they're going to end up marrying Jews also, and according to Rabbi Kiva, the kid's going to be a mamzer. Right? And therefore, the Jews are going to be intermarrying mamzerim. And therefore, Rabbi Eliezer says, number one, the kusim are goyim, they're not legitimate converts. Secondly, if you have relations with a goy with a Jew, the kid's a mamzer. So that's what's going to happen. The kutsim are going to start mingling with the Jews. Rabbi, they're going to create mamzeidim. What?
Rabbi Eliezer says that?
Yeah. That's what Rabbi Eliezer holds, according to the Gemara.
I thought Rabbi Kiva
said. No, Rabbi Kiva says that any lav also creates a mamzer. But Rabbi Eliezer holds that Rabbi Shmuel, the number one, they're not kosher gaitim. That means they're goyim. Then they're going to end up mingling with the Jewish people. So the Gemara says, what are you talking about? Umisavel Rabbi Shmuel ke Rabbi Kiva? That Rabbi Shmuel holds like Rabbi Akiva. Because what does the Gemara say? Rabbi Eliezer holds like Rabbi Shmuel, and he holds like Rabbi Akiva, which implies Rabbi Shmuel also holds like Rabbi Akiva. Okay? That even a lav creates a mamzer. Okay? According to Rabbi Akiva, any negative comment, Amin Amayav, Layavi Amin Amayavi Bechal Hashem. According to Rabbi Akiva, it's only a lav, it's not capital punishment. Yeah? The kid's going to be a mamzer. A guy with a ger mitzvah is going to be a mamzer.
But it's not arayut.
According to Rabbi Kiva, the fact that it's a lav and it's forbidden to marry, even in a lav, creates a mamzer. That's what Rabbi Kiva holds.
So if a Jewish woman marries a non-Jewish man,
according to Rabbi Kiva, the kid's a mamzer. We don't pass him like Rabbi Kiva. Okay. So the Gemara says, how can you say that Rabbi Shmuel holds like Rabbi Kiva? Rabbi Yechon said the name of Rabbi Shmuel. Minayin, how do we know? The Eved Kachavim ve'Eved Agoy. Shabor al Kehanis of al Levi of al Bas Yisrael. How do we know if a Goy lives with a Bas Kohen? A Bas Levi or a Bas Yisrael. Shapsuluha, he makes her unfit. to marry a kohen. Shenama, because it says like this. Ubas kein kisi amanu grusham. If a bas kohen will become a widow or a divorcee, vizera ein law, and she doesn't have any children, then she goes back to her father's house so she can eat truma. Okay? But it says, mi she yeshli almana sugedishin. This only applies that when can she return to the father's house to eat truma if she was a widow or a divorcee. That means the marriage was married. Yotze evid kochavim ve'evid. Excluding an evid kochavim and evid, that there's no almana gedishin to the woman, right? So she cannot go back to her father's house to eat truma because she became disqualified. Right? That's what the Gemara says. The Isaka Dait of Rabbi Kiva, if you're like Rabbi Kiva, that the child of such a thing as a mamzid, hash the mamzid have mifso be awesome boy. Does it say that she's forbidden to eat truma? Meaning like this. If Rabbi Shmuel holds like Rabbi Kiva, that means he holds even a goy with a Jew, okay, makes a mamzer. Creates a mamzer. So of course it's possible. Why would I need a pasuk to tell me that a goy that lived with a woman, and then the goy got rid of her and she goes back to her father's house, she can't eat truma because she's disqualified from being a kohen. According to Rabbi Kiva, of course she's disqualified from being a kohen. The kid would be a mamzer.
But not her.
If the kid's a mamzer, what's she? The mother of a mamzer.
How would the kid be a mamzer if the husband is a boy?
Yeah, he holds it.
Rabbi Kiva holds that.
No, the question is if she's not a goy or she's not. She's right. A Jew. Because the kid becomes mamzer, then she's not.
According to Rabbi Kiva, if a kid becomes a mamzer, that means that woman became completely disqualified from kohuna.
She's not a Jew anymore?
She's a Jew. Mamzer is also a Jew. But she's not a bas kohen. Can she eat truma?
She was a bas kohen.
Yeah, but now she lives with a guy.
Then she's not a bas kohen anymore?
She loses the status of a bas kohen. Yeah. The pasuk says that a bas kohen who married somebody and became a widow or a divorcee, and she doesn't have any children, okay, she goes back to her father's house, she can eat truma. Because the din is, a bas kohen who marries a Yisrael cannot eat truma anymore. Because she's married to a Yisrael. Okay? If she has a kid from the Yisrael, even if the husband dies, she cannot eat truma, the Torah says. Yeah. It says only if a woman, was married and didn't have children, a bas kohen got married and didn't have children and her husband died and divorced her, she can go back and eat truma. Because she's not bound anymore to that guy who died or divorced her. Right?
Mm-hmm. Why is it, I think she has children or not?
The Torah says, Zereinla.
I know, I'm saying what's the time.
Why? Because if she has a child that's a Yisrael, that connects her to the Yisraelim rather than the Kohanim. Mm-hmm. If there's no kid, then the husband's out of the picture, so she's back with the family. There's no remembrance or resemblance of the first husband. But if there's a kid, that kid's a Yisro coming from her, so she is disqualified. What?
You said in terms of a regular Bas Yisro, you don't see like regular people today. But let's see like a Bas Kohen.
What happens is that a woman that lives with a guy cannot marry a kohen. Because the fact she lived with somebody, by the way, even if she, God forbid, was raped. And this is a unique thing. A married woman, a regular Jewish married woman, God forbid, was raped by a guy, she can go back to her husband. Okay? Or she was raped even by a Jew, if she was raped, not willingly. She can go stay married to the husband. But if a bas kohen was, or a woman, any woman, that was
married to a kohen,
or if they're not married yet, a woman that was lived with a guy by hook or by crook, she cannot marry a kohen. If the wife of a kohen, God forbid, was raped, She has to divorce her husband.
She can't remarry, right?
She can't remarry. It's not her fault. I mean, but that's what the Torah says.
She can divorce the Kohen, but she can marry a regular Israeli.
Yeah, okay, but she, you know, he's still this. She can't stay married to the Kohen.
She has a bunch of kids.
Okay, whatever, but that's the bottom line, because... Okay? So he says, okay, so we say like this. Ella, not, until now the Gemara says, Rabbi Lazar holds like Rabbi Shmuel, who holds like Rabbi Akiva. So the implication was Rabbi Shmuel holds like Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara says it can't be. So therefore the Gemara says, okay, you're right. Rabbi Lazar holds like Rabbi Shmuel, that holds and not really Gatim. V'savel like Rabbi Akiva, and not Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Eliezer holds like Rabbi Akiva, who says, Evit kochavim ve'evit abol bas Yisrael v'lad mamzer, the kids are mamzer. Okay? So therefore it's not Rabbi Shmuel like Rabbi Akiva, it's Rabbi Eliezer himself. Rabbi Eliezer holds like Rabbi Shmuel, that the kusim are goyim. He holds like Rabbi Akiva, the kids are mamzer, and therefore kusi can't marry kusis, because then everybody's going to think that the person's Jewish, and that's going to be a whole problem. Okay? So now the Gemara says like this. How do you say Rabbi Lazar holds like Rabbi Akiva? It's also a problem. Because it says in a braisa like this, Rabbi Lazar himself says, even though, by, so I'll explain in a sec what tzaddik, co-wives, even though Rabbi Shami and Beisil agree, by the tzaddis, I mean, they argue, made them, nevertheless, they agree, she mamzer, ela mimi she isura isir erva v'enish kodis. Okay? Okay, now, whatever, well, I'll explain the Bryce in a second, but the bottom line is, in the Bryce it says clearly that Rabbi Lazar says, Beishami and Beisilu both agree that a mamzer can only come from that capital punishment, not from a lav. The Gemara is saying now Rabbi Lazar holds like Rabbi Akiva that even if it's a lav, the kid's also a mamzer. So the Gemara says, but Rabbi Lazar himself says clearly Beishami and Beisilu both agree that mamzer is only when it's punishment of kodesh. Okay? Now, what is this argument of Bisham Beisilu? It's an interesting argument. We know if a husband dies, there's no kids, you have to do Yibum or Chalitza. Right? That we learned. What happens if a guy's married to two wives? Okay? He married a woman, and the second woman was his... I need to go back a second. What happens? There's two brothers, right? One brother dies, so his wife has to marry the other guy, or do chalitza. What happens if she can't marry the other guy? Because she's related to the brother, not to him. Simple example. The Gemara speaks about marrying a niece. The Gemara says it's a mitzvah to marry a niece. Rabbi Yehuda Chosid says you shouldn't do it. But the Gemara says, ask him, Rabbi Yehuda Chosid, how can you say no? And the Gemara says it's a mitzvah. The Gemara learns it out from a pasuk. Don't conceal yourself from your own flesh and blood. Okay? The bottom line is like this. Reuven and Shimon are two brothers. Yeah? Reuven's married to Shimon's daughter. His niece. Now, Reuven dies without kids.
She can marry the father.
She can marry her father. Okay? So therefore, not only does she not do Yibum, she doesn't even have to do Chalitza. Because there's no obligation of Yibum, there's no obligation at all. So there's no Chalitza necessary, there's no Yibum, she's a regular widow, can go marry anybody else that she wants. Now what happens if Reuven has two wives? One's his niece, and he has another wife. It's not related to Shimon. Now Reuven dies. Okay. Now, one wife could do Yibum, and one wife cannot do Yibum. Okay? See here, Beishami and Beisilu are arguing. What's the machlekes? So the Beishami rules that if one wife is freed from Yibum, because she's a niece, right? The other wife still has to do Yibum.
This Bishami holds.
Beis Hillel says, no. The fact that one wife is out, both are out.
Why?
That, we're not going to the Gemara there soon. Uh-huh. Okay, it's a Mishnah Yevamos. So Beis Hillel, so Belaza says, what's the machlekes of Beis Shammai Beis Hillel over there in Yevamos? Whether the tzara, when the guy has two wives, opening Mishnah in Yevamos says, there's something called tzaris. Tzaris actually means problems, yeah? But when a guy marries two wives, in good old days, the wives hated each other. Because they were jealous, you know, like typical stories, right? So they were very jealous of each other, so they were called tzaris of each other. Problems of each other. That's what they were called in the Gemara.
Rivals.
Huh?
Avu.
Right. Now, so Rabbi Lozer comes along with a statement like this. This argument, whether if one wife is a relative who cannot do Yibum with the brother, and the other wife isn't, so Beishami says that other wife still has to do Yibum Rechlitza. Beishami says the fact that one's free, frees them both. And then Rabbi Lozer continues, that's only where they argue. But everybody agrees, Rabbi Lozer says, both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel agree, that when is somebody a mamzer? Only from kodesh or miser b'dei bezdin, only capital punishment. Right? So Rabbi Lozer in a braisa clearly says that a mamzer is only from kodesh or misa. So how can we say in our Gemara, Rabbi Lozer holds like Rabbi Akiva, that even if it's only a lav, the kid's a mamzer? When Rabbi Lozer clearly in a braisa says clearly that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel both agree that the kid's only a mamzer if it comes to avedus of capital punishment. So he says like this. Okay. Ela ki aser Rabbi Mamar Rabbi Chia Bar Abba Mamar Rabbi Yechon. So when Rabbi came from Eretz Yisrael, there's these certain rabbis learned in Eretz Yisrael, then he came back to Bavel. He said the name of Rabbi Chia Bar Abba and said the name of Rabbi Yechon or Abba Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda and Rabbi Chanina. Or some people say Rav Yaakov Bar Idi said the name of Rav Shua Ben Levi. Says like this. Shalish machlekes bedorav. There's three arguments in this whole thing about the kusim. About kusim not marrying a kusim. There's three opinions in this whole thing. What's the three opinions? Rabbi Shmuel Savar, Rabbi Shmuel hold. Kusim geiri aroyesei. Kusim are not real geirim. Like we said, they were inspired by lions. In other words, insincere. Therefore, the goyim. Where do we see this? And not only that, but the Gemara continues, that Kayanim, that became associated, assimilated with the Kusim, also became non-kosher Kayanim. Because they were all living with people they weren't allowed to. Because it says, Vayas lehem mikseisam, they, the Kusim, made for themselves, Kayanim bomis, and Kayanim for the altars. So there's a whole mishmash, that means the Kayanim started mixing with the assimilated with the kusim, so therefore they all became not kosher. Va'amei Rabbi Barachonam Rabbi Yechonon min akeitim shebaam, meaning from the thorns of the nation, meaning people that were unfit for the nation. Umishimachi peslinu, therefore the chachamim disqualified the kusim. Okay, so he says like this: why did the Rabbi Shmuel hold the chachamim said the kusim are goyim? Why? Because the Kainim assimilated with them, they never meant the Gators. The Kainim assimilated with them, therefore anybody that had to do with the Kusim were disqualified from Bnei Yisrael. Rabbi Kiva Savad, Rabbi Kiva says no. Kusim Geri Emesim. The Kusim are real Gatim. We said before, there's a Machlaikis, Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel. If the Kusim were real Gatim or not, did they mean it or didn't they mean it? Rabbi Shmuel says, the Gemara is explaining now, they never meant it. Therefore, they had a din of goyim. Therefore, any kohenim that assimilated with the kutim became disqualified from kohuna, right? Because they were all assimilated with people they weren't allowed to marry, which disqualifies a kohen from being a kohen.
That's a list of the problem.
Yeah. Rabbi Kiva says.
Rabbi Kiva says,
"Did they are here?" Rabbi Kiva says, "Kusim geiri emesim." Look at that. They're real geirim. Therefore, the kohenim that assimilated with the kutim were kosher kohenim, because they weren't goyim; they're Jews. Therefore, the kohen that assimilated with the kusim are good. Shenama, because, and he quotes the pasuk that the kohenim were good. Shenama, because it says in the pasuk, "Vayas lohem Mikseisam Kayani Bamis. They made for themselves, for some of them, Kayanim for the altars. What does it mean? Min Abchidim Shabam, from the chosen one of the nations, that meaning the Kayanim. Aye, why did they forbid the Kusim from marrying? They're real Jews. Why did they forbid the Kusim from marrying? So like this, because they had a different problem. They only did Yibum if the girl wasn't married, only had Kedushin. And this is another thing like this.
Ooh,
the, well, give me a minute. Relax. Relax. A guy dies without kids, this is then a Yibum. Correct? Many people hold, the halacha is, if a guy did kedushin with a woman, he didn't marry her, he only did kedushin, and then he died, the woman also has to have yibum. If he married her and died without kids, for sure he needs yibum. Correct? The halacha is, whether it's from the kedushin, from the edison, or from the nisuyin, if a man dies, the woman cannot marry anybody else without Yibum or Chalitza, if there's a brother. The Kutim didn't learn like that. They're 100% Jews, they converted halachically, Gedi Emesim, Rabbi Kivolt. What was the problem? They said, the only time you need Yibum is from Edison. But if they got married, then you don't have to do Yibum. And they quote a pasuk they misinterpreted a pasuk to say like they're saying.
Who are they to pass him like that? Kutim are not like Sadukim. I mean, they have
which
Rabbanim.
Jew do you know doesn't pass him? Even Rabbi Google passes.
No, but if Chachma Gemara, they accept their.
They accepted them as Gedim.
Doesn't he ask Moshe?
Now it's Rabbi Google.
But he asked Moses.
You need to ask Moses. Now you have Rabbi Google.
Now it's Rabbi Google.
Yeah.
Rabbi, if the two brothers are from different mothers, like their father married, got divorced and married.
This from the father.
I'm sorry?
From the father.
Right, so if
they have to be from the father. Yes. For this, then, yeah.
Rabbi,
what?
If a man dies. But they have children. Do they still have a mitzvah of Yibum?
No. Then you're not allowed to do Yibum. A man and his sister-in-law creates a mamzer. Great? Great. Even after, if the husband dies and there's children, yeah? See, Reuven and Shimon, both married, have children, whatever, yeah? And then Reuven dies. If Mrs. Reuven is going to marry Shimon, it's capital punishment and the kids are mamzer. If there's no children, then the Torah says, no, you have to do Yibum or Chalitza. But if there's children, you're not allowed to do Yibum. It's mamish, it's forbidden.
With the sister-in-law, you have to do Yibum and Chalitza? I thought it's against the Torah. Why do you need to...
If a man dies without children...
Okay.
Who marries her? Who does she marry?
She marries the
her brother-in-law.
Yeah, okay.
Are you allowed to marry your brother-in-law? Only by Yibum when there's no kids. If there's kids and you marry your brother-in-law, it's capital punishment and the kids are mamzerim.
What if the kid died?
What?
What if the kid died?
No, it's
still... essentially, if they divorce and then if he didn't die, but they divorce, she cannot marry the brother.
No.
Why don't we say that the same case as when the niece case, that it just completely nullifies it? Why don't we say the same thing with regard to this? Over there, you are not
what
allowed...
What case are you talking about?
Tell me the case that you're talking about.
Okay,
the case that...
Reuven and Shimon are brothers.
Okay.
Reuven has kids or doesn't have kids?
Doesn't have kids.
And he dies.
And, yeah, he dies.
So
and
who marries
niece,
his...
So the niece...
What niece?
The case that we before we had.
I'm not talking about that case now. I'm talking about a normal case of Yibum.
What?
Forget the niece. Reuven and Shimon are married. Right? Living with your sister-in-law is capital punishment.
It's the same case as the niece. That's the capital punishment. The daughter with the father. And so now...
Now what? In what case?
The case that its sister-in-law... Sister-in-law cannot marry the...
Brother-in-law.
Yeah. But the brother dies. Now she's allowed.
Right. That's the whole case of Yibum. That's what the Torah says. That's the din of Yibum.
Well, nowadays we only do Chalitza.
Nowadays only Chalitza. Even if they want, you don't let.
So if she has a kid, she can't be free going back to her father's house, and if the kid dies?
I remember Zerhen, I think, I don't remember exactly. I think even if the kid died, I don't remember. Okay. Oh, see, so why did Chacham ask the question? Because they would do Yibum only without Usa. Upeitrim as an Asuis. And they would say, though, that if the guy was married, then there's no Yibum. Only if there was only Kedushin. Why, Darsha, how did the Kusim learn this Pasik? So he said, it says in the Tatum, they see Aisha Samasachutzali Zod. The man, the wife of the deceased, they by Yibum, right? The brother dies, says, the woman of the wife of the dead cannot marry a strange guy without Yibum, right? So they said, only a woman who cannot, they learn like this, only a woman who's outside of her husband, she cannot marry a Izor. Now, which woman is outside of her husband? If she only had Kedushin and they weren't married, she can't live with him. So they learned when the Torah says, Laisia Aishas Ameis, the wife of the dead, cannot be a chutza li'izor. They said the word chutza means what type of mesa we're talking about? A mace that the woman was outside of the husband. That means she couldn't live with the husband. Which woman can't live with a husband if it was only Kedushin? But if there's Nisuin, then she's not Chutzah. So then they said that there's no din of Yibum. That's how they interpreted the Pasuk. They misconstrued the Pasuk, but that's how they learned. But Rabbi Kiva, Letamei, and Rabbi Kiva, what's the problem? He says, Yeshmamzi Mechai V'lavim. Now the Gemara says like this. A woman that has to do Yibum. Okay? Reuven died. Mrs. Reuven needs to do Yibum. And the Torah says a negative commandment, she cannot marry anybody else. Okay? But it's only a lav, not capital punishment. So what happens if this woman didn't do Yibum? She didn't do Chalitza, and Mrs. Reuven married Yankel.
Won't Yaakov know what's going on?
There isn't. The Torah just says it's a negative commandment.
No, but
according to Rabbi Kiva, he gives a mamzer. Because it's a lot. Rabbi Kiva holds like this. The Kusim are really Gedim. Kosher Gedim. What's the problem with the Kusim? They would allow a woman that was married and the husband died without kids, that she can marry anybody else. Correct? That's what, because they only said from the Edison, you have to do Yibum. But after the marriage, the Kutim said, you don't have to do Yibum.
Oh, that's
now, if that woman marries somebody else, according to Rabbi Kiva, what's the din? It's a negative command, but what's the din? The kid's a mamzer. So Rabbi Kiva said, that's why you can't marry with the Kusim. They can't marry each other because of this mishmash and balagan that's going to happen from it.
But
he doesn't care.
Yaakov doesn't care.
No.
Mrs.
Reuven cares.
What about the other guy?
If they're Kusim, that's the problem. This Kusi, Yankel, is going to marry Mrs. Reuven Kusi.
No.
Right?
Okay.
And they're going to have Mamzadim.
Okay.
So that's what's going to happen if a Kusi marries a Kusis.
Okay.
It's like the problem with the Ethiopians now.
Right. Well, that's a different problem.
What?
That is so common that it's an actual chashash?
What?
Like, that's a 1,000 case.
But it seems that it was pretty common those days.
Yehu?
Yeah?
Yeah, a lot of men died early.
They died early, didn't have kids, whatever.
And if that's the case, they don't verify to see if they did it or not, or...
If they did what? But the Kusim said she doesn't need Yibum. Because
yeah.
She was married. So they're going to let her go marry somebody else, another Kusim. And according to Rabbi Kiva, it's the kids of Mamzer. But Yashem, there's a third opinion about Kusim. It says, why? So far the Gemara says like this. Rabbi Shmuel holds, okay, you can't marry them. Why? Because they're goyim. And they intermingle with the kohenim. Okay? And therefore you can't marry the kusi. A kusi can't marry a kusi because even it's going to be intermingling, it's no good. Rabbi Kiva says, no, they're really Jewish. The problem is because of the Yibum issue. Therefore you can't marry them. Okay? The third opinion says because they're not careful with mitzvahs. So Gemara says, what does that mean? Man Yashemrim, first of all, who is the Yashemrim? Am Ravida Baravin, Rabbi Eliezeri. Well, where do we see that they're not careful in mitzvahs? Who says they're not careful in mitzvahs? Rabbi Eliezer. What does Rabbi Eliezer say? It says in a braisa like this, Matzah Kusi Muteres. If a Kusi made matzah, okay, you're allowed to eat it. Adam and you could be yetzir pesach matzah. In other words, we trust that the kusim bake the matzah correctly. Rabbi Eliezer says you can't eat the matzah. Why? They're not careful of mitzvahs. So when you eat matzah, maybe it's chametz. You can't do it. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says like this. It's interesting. Kol mitzvah she'achzika by kusim, any mitzvah that the kusim did, accepted, they were more from than the Jews. Habi medaktikum bo yeitzim mi Yisrael. Okay.
So based on that, can a goy bake matzahs nowadays?
A goy? No. No.
Even if they're watched?
Yeah, they're not.
What's the 5 points of the commandments talking about?
5 points?
They're not familiar with the 5 points of commandment. That's why they're not trusted.
Which were you reading?
In the commentary number 5.
Five?
No, but it here it says familiar with the
fine points, not five.
Oh, fine.
Fine. they're not careful.
You're saying they're more careful.
No, there's three opinions. So the Gemara says, which opinion holds that they're not particular in mitzvahs? Rabbi Eliezer. Because the first opinion says they are careful in mitzvahs. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says any mitzvah that they accepted, they do. And the second opinion, Rabbi Eliezer says, no, they're not careful in mitzvahs. So if they're not careful in mitzvahs, he can't marry them. So the Gemara says, so therefore, what do we have to say over here? That's the question. So if they're not careful about matzah, if you can marry them? So Mar says what it means is they're not careful in the laws of Gittin and Kedushim. That was this Ethiopian story, by the way.
Right.
They're not careful in the laws of marriage and divorce. So therefore, if the kusim do kedushin and they don't do proper gittin, and they don't, so there are a lot of kids could be mamzerim. There could be a lot of problems with a lot of kids. So then there's a problem. Then there's a problem of marrying them because they could be mamzerim. They could be not kosher kids. So there's three opinions. Bottom line is, you can't marry with the kusim. Okay, Rabbi Shmuel says because they're goyim, and. Not only are they goyim, but then they're not careful, okay? And the kohenim assimilated with them, so they're all no good. Rabbi Akiva says you can't marry them because they're Jewish, but they wouldn't care for the name of Yibum. And the Thiyashemim, that they can't marry because they're not careful in the laws of Gittin and Kedushin. That's the problem, by the way, with the, I'm not saying rulings, but the, what's called the B'nai Yisrael, the Ethiopians and the Jewish, the Indian, they're called the B'nai Yisrael. They left mainstream Judaism during the second Beis HaMikdash. And most of the laws of Gittin, Kedushin, were formulated in the time of the Mishnah and Gemara, which was after the destruction of Beis HaMikdash. So therefore, they didn't have those rules like the Jews had them. And therefore, there's a whole question, are they mamzeidim, are they not mamzeidim? Because if they got married and they didn't do a proper get, and then the woman remarried, so then the kids are mamzer. That's the whole, that was the whole issue with that.
But they're still Jewish.
Huh?
They're still Jewish, though.
The question is, how far they're Jewish. And we said this many times, that Ramesha Feinstein passed that they need to go through Gaitis. They didn't understand that he really was generous with them. Because he said basically, okay, you're not Mamzeidim, you're doubtful going to conversion, then you'll be full-fledged Jews. Otherwise, it'd be a shout to Mamzeidim, that's even a worse problem.
Is there a problem a Jew does Geirut?
If a Jew does Geirut?
I mean, there are Jews.
Have a good week.
I mean, there are Jews.
Who do Geirut?
He said when Rav Moshe says, do Geirut. Conversion, yeah.
Right.
But they were Jews. Or they were Suffolk Jews?
They were Suffolk Jews.
Jews, but they may be
so it's Suffolk Jews, the sad that is...
I'm not going into the politics of the issue.
No,
there
are
a lot of places in Eretz Yisrael, Ethiopian Jews that were not Megari Kalocha, in many circles, they do not accept them as Jews. They won't count it for a minion, they won't give them a leave.
I'm talking about halachically. A sad of a Jew...
Halach, that's a machlekes in Halach, the Jewish or not. Okay. Even the Kutim doesn't make like Zerb Kivin Rebbe Shmov, they're Jewish or not.
Yeah. And they, so the Kutim here, they were a bunch of people. I mean, they were a nation. Close.
Yeah. But they mingled and assimilated
with
the Jews.
But they were kind, I don't know, I can't say Ashkenaz and Sephard, but they were a whole.
Yeah, it's like Ashkenaz and Sephardic.
No, they were a whole.
Excuse me. Do you know that in the 50s?
Mm-hmm.
In the 50s.
Okay.
Wasn't that long ago. It was unheard of that a Sephardic boy or girl married Ashkenazi, and if they did, the family said shiva as if they married a guy. You know that? I'm not joking. In the 50s.
Oh wow.
In the early 50s, if a Sephardic boy or girl married an Ashkenazi boy or girl, the family said shiva.
Because of this issue?
No, because they maintained the Sephardic weren't Jewish.
Let's make a point. My grandmother, she lived in Montreal, and my father came from Egypt to meet my mother. She never heard of Sephardic Jews. Back then, she didn't know what Sephardic Jews.
I didn't know Sephardic Jews also when I was a kid. But she came to know Sephardic Jews.
You went to Iran?
What?
What was going on with Kedushin and Gittin before the mission?
Before the Mishnah, no, it wasn't. They had the halachas, but it wasn't formulated. Then the big rabbanim knew, but it wasn't. The masses didn't know all the dinim of Gittin and Kedushin. Kedushin is obviously much easier than Gittin.
Right.
You know, the two Eidim, Yalei HaMekudesh, is done.
So they never had this concept. They didn't have.
That's questionable if they had really had the proper halachas of Gittin and Kedushin.
There's no way to find out.
They didn't have, no.
So, Ethiopia, India, remember the 10 lost tribes? Right?
Some people want to say the 10 lost tribes. The whole, you know, it's a whole historical debate, political debate, what the stories were. What?
Rabbi, we mentioned before about the niece, I mean, the...
Uncle with the niece.
Why is that permitted, but a nephew and an aunt can't marry?
Very good question. The only one that can answer you is Gotcha. I don't know. I don't know.
Okay.
It's all, the whole thing is exerts a kosev. I read somewhere recently, the Rami Prok said, he explained a brother not marrying his sister. Yeah, last week's Pasha Achimaisi, a brother can't marry his sister. Even though Cain married his sister, Hevel married his sister, the whole world. And he explains, okay, Hashem said so. But logically, it would make sense, logically, for brother and a sister to marry. They have most in common. They really know how to fight, so they have good practice. No, really, I mean, I'll explain. It makes sense for a brother to marry a sister. The Meral. So he explains why. Because Hashem wants to expand the families.
That's the Rashi. That's Rashi in the Chumash at the beginning when he talks about marriage. Yeah.
At the beginning? The Chesed of Hashem.
No, Chesed Yibane, because it says a brother and sister Chesed.
That's,
but he explains you need to expound on the family.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember such a Rashi, but anyway. Is that the Rashi?
Okay, by the way, we finish it on the Mishnah, maybe.
Well, oh, so it says the Nabaki in Gitne Kedushin. Oh, it says Amir Abba Bechana, Amir Abba Mamze Machaisei. Okay. Another reason why kusim cannot marry, because mamzeh miachesei or mamzeh meishes och nisarvel. It was a case that a mamzer from a sister and a mamzer from a brother became intermingled. Okay. My komashmulan that there's a mamzer bechayvi krisis. We learned it already. That the mamzer. Sigmar says no meister show you kachoyed. That's the story that happened. That two mamzerim, one from a sister, one from a brother, got mixed up, and they became. So he says, Rava Amar, another story. Ever v'shivchen the sarvel bem. The reason because a slave and a slave woman became intermingled with them, with the kusim. Okay, it then says something like this. Why did the kusim become forbidden? Because a mamzer from a sister, a mamzer from a brother, intermingled. And that's why they forbid the kusim. Sigmar says, of course, it's a real mamzer. Sigmar says, yeah, but that's the story that happened. It's the same thing Rava says. You know why the kusim are forbidden? Evid v'shichun nesavu bem. Because a slave and a slave woman became intermingled with the kusim. Sigmar says, mishum shivchas nisachad, it already says that you can't marry a shivcha. Sigmar says, marriage to show you kachoy, that's the story that happened. So there are various stories that happen with the kusim, and because of that, Chacham said you can't intermarry with them. Kusim are out of the picture.